Book of Titus, chapter 2, as it were. Hadn't the Lord been good to us? And I'm sure there's probably other folks that you'd like to testify, and we'll have a second chance service tonight at 6 o'clock. You just bring that testimony back then. Amen. And y'all know I don't like to. I want to exhort. I want to go. And but the Lord's burned this in my heart, and I'm going to preach it if God will help me. And if he don't, God don't honor it, I'll promise you I'll sit down real quick, all right? Book of Titus, chapter number 2. I'm sure glad that I'm saved. I'm sitting there thinking. They is singing about God being good, and I can tell you this. I may not be the best preacher, but that don't mean that he's not a great Savior. And I may not be the best Christian, but that don't mean he's not a great Savior. There's a lot of people like to point at people and find reasons why they don't want to serve God. And there may be times I ain't a real good husband, but that does not exempt my wife from the fact that Jesus is still a great Savior. Amen. And I may not be the best dad to my boys, and my boys might be able to look up and say, well, my dad wasn't much, but they will never look at Jesus and say, Jesus was not much. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ has proven time and time again. As nobody has to question anything. As nobody has to ponder on it. Christ demonstrated it over and over again. We may not be much, but he's everything. Amen. Here's what the Bible says in the book of Titus chapter 2. I'm going to start reading in verse number 9. Bible says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things. Not answering again. In other words, don't talk back. Amen. Boy, there'd be a lot of Christians do good. Grab a hold of that statement right there. Amen. Notice the next verse says, not purloining, that means stealing, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we sure thank you again for this day. I thank you, Lord, for what I felt in my heart. I thank you today, God, for how you have reminded us, and God, for the work that you've let us be a small party. And I'd pray for a few minutes of time today, and God, that you'd fill up my heart and my mouth and help me not to say anything contrary. Lord, I want to be a real careful standing here today and to make sure we say everything that you would have us to say. I thank you, God, for the good meeting that we've had, and I pray, and God, in this sweet scripture, and will be in addition to it. God, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to speak loudly to our hearts today. And God, we'll do the best we can to honor you and to praise you with everything we heart. It's in Christ's name I humbly beg and ask. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I'm going to read one more text of scripture, and then I'll try to preach what I feel like the Lord's laid to my heart. In the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul writing there, and we find in Galatians chapter 3 verse 27 he writes it like this. He said, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. He said, for there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And then we come to what I read today. This is what the scripture said in verse number 10. He said, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. I got thinking about this, and if the Lord helped me for just a few minutes of time, I was thinking about whenever Zach was getting married the other day. We got back there in the back, and we was all putting on tuxedos, and we was all trying to look our best. Everybody understands what that looks like come a wedding time.
Had to thank God I was there. They couldn't none of them tie, amen. But the preacher was there, and I wanted everybody's tie to look good, so I was tying everybody's tie. And I said to Cameron and Justin and me, of course, had the folks who was here, little Cohen, had the folks who was here that was in it. And I said to Zach, you know the difference between them and us today, or between us and you rather. He said, what's that? And I said, today we're all just wearing it, but you're making it look good. Amen. I said all that to say this. If you are saved by the good grace of God, according to the book Galatians chapter 3 verse 27, as many as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Amen. That means, thank God, listen, as soon as you got born again by the good grace of God, thank God you put on Christ. You are wearing Him. Amen. And we find that the writer writes it like this. He said, you are our epistles, known and read of all men. That means everywhere you go, thank God, you are wearing Christ. And when you go to work today or tomorrow, you'll be wearing Christ. And before long, when you go to the schoolhouse, you'll be wearing Christ. And whenever you go down, thank God, to the gas station, you'll be wearing Christ. But then the Bible says this. In the text that I read, he said that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. That word adorn means to beautify. It means to make look good. Amen. And so I'd like to preach on this thought this morning. Are you just wearing Christ, or are you making Him look good? Amen. Oh, thank God. Listen, I mean, I really feel like preaching for just a little while today. It's not enough just to put Him on. Amen. There's a lot of Christians that are putting Him on, thank God, but their lives don't make Him look good. Amen. You say, preacher, why should I make Him look good? I'm kind of, He made you look good. Amen. That's all you need, thank God. I found you whenever you wasn't nothing. I found you when you was down in your sins. And listen, friend, covered in the filth of the world and on your way to hell. But He washed you from your sins in His own blood. And clothed you in the righteousness of His dear Son. And made you a fit subject for the kingdom of heaven. I'm telling you, in the sight of God, I look good today. Amen. I'm telling you, God made us look good. I thank God. I know that we don't look like much right now. That the Bible says that He'll present to Himself a glorious church, and not having spot or blemish or wrinkle or any such thing. I mean, we look good to Christ. Amen. I'm saying this to you today, friend. If we were to go down through your life, I thank God there's more than just putting Him on. Hey, you ought to make Him look good. Amen. I mean, listen, there's some folks today, and I realize I'm going to say this, and don't nobody get too mad at me today, okay? I'm so happy today, I don't want you to be mad at me, but I am going to preach anyway, thank God. You can't make Christ look good if you put on Christ, but you're talking like the world. Amen. I mean, we ought to want to make Christ look good. And Brother Delmer Savage, we ought to make Christ look good in the way we dress. Amen. I mean, listen, don't dawn on me now. And we ain't even there yet. I ain't even to the hard parts yet. I'm just saying this. If you put on Christ, thank God, and you ought to make Him look good in the way you dress. Amen. And you ought to make Christ look good about what you listen to. Amen. I don't think that's right. I mean, listen now, don't nobody get too mad at me. I know a few of you probably will, and that's all right. I love you anyhow, thank God. And I'm going to say this. If I came in tonight, and when I was riding into church, if I rode down my windows, and as I was pulling in the parking lot, I was listening to AC/DC, and I was listening to Highway to Hell, hey, you probably don't want me to preach today. Would y'all agree with that? I mean, thank God, listen. Hey, you probably don't want me to come rolling into church, I mean, with Metallica blaring from the radio. I'll probably say, hey, something don't add up here. That's supposed to be my preacher. Amen. That's supposed to be my pastor. And what in the world is my pastor doing? And listening to hell's bells. Amen. Oh, thank God. But somewhere in heaven there's a God that sent his only begotten son to go on Calvary's cross and shed his blood for you. Amen. Oh, listen. I want to say this. Don't nobody get too nervous at it. I mean, Davis has got his own car. And these parents, and they say, well, you can't help what your kids listen to. I'm telling you, thank God. If he comes rolling up in my house and listen to Marilyn Manson, I'll take a knife, I'll slash all four tires, and bust his windows out. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God you hear me. There's nothing pleasing about that to the Lord. Amen. There's a lot of folks that's wearing Christ, but I'm talking about making him look good. Amen. I'm talking about making him look good. Thank God. I'm going to give you three or four things today, and I'm going to be done. And thank God. Some of you's already checked out. That's all right, too. And thank God. Just hang tight. Amen. And I'll give you a few things. And listen, I want to be honest with you. I think all of us, if we're honest with ourselves, it's more times than not that we're just wearing Christ. I mean, we're just wearing Christ and just putting him on, thank God. And but then we want to do our own thing. But I'm saying, listen, there ought to be a time in our heart that we say, Lord, I'm tired of just putting you on. I'm tired of just going through the motions. I sure would like to make you look good. Amen. I'll give you a few things tonight here. First of all, and the text says this, and to please them well in all good things. I think our focus ought to make Christ look good. Amen. And you say, preacher, what's that look like? I start thinking about these men, how Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar, and those are Job's three friends. Hey, Brother Jess, I believe they were saved. Amen. I believe they knew God. I believe based upon their testimony, I mean, they said a lot of things that was right about God. And they said a lot of things, thank God, and that folks today, we can't even grab a hold of. But I'm going to tell you this, they might have been saved, Jordan. But old Job made him look good, didn't he? Amen. I mean, listen, old Job, thank God. Job's life made Christ look good. Amen. I'll tell you where he made him look good at. And whenever he was focusing on his preeminence when everything was bad in his life. I mean, listen, if there's anybody, I ought to be able to point back at God and say, I don't understand what's going on. I'm a perfect man, upright. I eschew evil. I'm trying to do what's right. I'm trying to serve God without a Bible and without the Holy Ghost. I'm doing everything I can to try to honor God. And in one day, he lost everything he had. But oh, listen, good neighbor. And when he could have blamed the Sabians, and when he could have blamed the Chaldeans, and when he could have blamed the wind, and when he could have blamed God, instead of blaming anybody, oh, Job just made God look good. Amen. And the Bible said he arose, rent his clothes, and shaved his head. He fell down and worshiped. Amen. And he said, naked came I into this world, and naked shall I return thither. He said, the Lord hath gave and the Lord hath taken away. Hey, you know what he ultimately said? He said, God, whether it's good or bad, he said, you gave it and I'll take it. Amen. And you gave it and I'll take it. I saw with somebody this week, and they said, listen, they had a hard time going to church because we had the singing songs about how good God is. He said, man, we've had loss and we've had tragedy and we've had all that. And listen, you know what? Probably most everybody in here has. But I'm telling you, your focus can make God look good. Amen. Oh, hear me, friend. And one of the sweetest sayings that's ever been. And one of the sweetest songs ever written. Oh, Horatio G. Spafford wrote it. And when his wife and his, that was the only one that saved alone, his daughter's dead, and gets out there and he pins down the words, it is well with my soul. I'm telling you, there's some folks that have put on Christ, and there's some people that make him look good. Amen. Oh, listen, could I say this to you today? We all know somebody in our life That makes Christ look good. Amen. I mean, when you're around them, thank God. The way they carry themselves. The way they talk about things. Listen, let me don't. I'm not going to try to meddle too much. I'm going to try to stick right with the scripture today. But I want to say this to you. If we start talking about a football game, and I like to talk about them, I like to talk about fighting, I like to talk about anything. I mean, I like it. Amen. But I'm going to tell you this. There's nothing sweeter than the name of Christ. That's to bring up that text. That's to bring up the Lord Jesus and what He's done. And if that doesn't interest you anywhere, then you may be putting Him on. But you certainly are not making Him look good. Amen. At some point in time, thank God, it ought to be the sincerest desire of our heart is to make Christ look good. Amen. Oh, I'm going to tell you this. He made Him look good with His preeminence. I thought about how Job made Him look good with His presence. Everybody was trying to figure out where God was. And Job said, oh, that I might knew where I might find Him. He said, He's unseen, He's unknown. But there's some things that He does know. He said, I believe I can focus on His plan. He said, He knoweth the way that I take. And when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Hey, something sweet about somebody who wants to make Christ look good. Amen. I want to say this to you, friend. First, we find how we ought to make Him look good in our focus. Second thing we find in this text is we ought to make Him look good with the way we follow Him. And the Bible says, not purloining. I know that's not a term you use every day. You don't tell your kids, go out and say, hey, go out today and don't purloin. Amen. And don't go to the store and purloin a little bit. But listen, I'm going to tell you this. Quite literally, that means to take away. It's to subtract. It is to steal and to take what don't belong to you. I'm going to tell you this, friend. Some folks, they just put on Christ. But if you're going to make Him look good, you can't be stealing from Him. Amen. Somebody help me right there. You can't be stealing from Him. That means the independent Baptist preachers need to learn how you can't steal His glory from Him. Amen. It belongs to Christ and Christ the Lord. Y'all don't be stealing any testimonies from Him. Y'all don't be stealing any money from Him. Oh, thank God, that's right. That's right. Thank God. Said all them preachers want to preach about some money. I don't never hardly preach about money. I feel like if you got a money problem, that's the least of your worries. Amen. Thank God. Listen. You tell me there's a God gets in your heart, and I'm telling you, He'll get in your pocketbook too. Amen. Oh, yes. Thank God. And you said, He's never moved on me to give. He done told you to. Thank God. He done said to. You ain't got to wait on God to say nothing else. He already said what to do. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God, we ought to just follow Him. And when you follow Him, and we're following Christ today, listen, have you just put Him on? Is it just going through the motions? Or if I followed you or you followed me, as we follow Him, are we making Him look good? Amen. I mean, thank God, listen, I want Christ to look good from my life. Don't you? Amen. I mean, I want Him to look good, thank God. I want to be, listen, that we can say it like this. I'm not trying to be carnal or fleshly, but we'd say it like this. I'd say, man, sometimes when they talk about men and women, husbands and wife, and they'll say, hey, she's arm candy. And what they're saying is, hey, she's just there to look good. I'm going to tell you what our job and our responsibility is as born again believers, as we are to make Christ look good. How you say, preacher, He already looks good without us. I know that, amen. I know He's altogether lovely. But we are His creation, His workmanship. We are the testimony that the world has to how beautiful He is. And we're either wearing Him or we're making Him look good. Oh, listen. Come in the house of God. I'm going to say this to you, friend. If somebody came in the house of God and I've been a part of this, God help me right here for a minute. I've come sit in the house of God. And I've been in places before where they look over and they'd say, man, they go to church here. That's, I don't even know they went to church. That's, man, if you heard the way they acted, heard the way they talked, heard the filthy language they used, the dirty jokes they told. I said, I can't believe they go to church. I've been in churches before where they've said, man, I can't. I'd say, this fellow right here is a preacher. And they'd say, there ain't no way. Amen. And there ain't no way. I'm not saying they ain't saved. I'm saying they ain't making Christ look very good. Amen. Now you can make your decision if you want to. But we ought to make Christ look good. Amen. I thought about old Jacob. Jacob, he put on Christ. I know. Hey, Doug, I know Jacob was saved because the Bible says he's the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I have no doubt in my mind that he was saved. But I'm going to tell you, old Jacob had a boy named Joseph, and Joseph made Christ look good. Amen. I mean, listen, Jacob may have been born again, but old Jacob had some problems. He had some favoritism problems. Hey, listen, he had some deceptive problems. He had some trickster problems. He had some problems. Hey, but when you get to old Joseph's life, oh, Joseph, thank God. Hey, could I say this? Look up here at me, all my young people, my teenagers that ain't married. You know, one of the things that I love most about old Joseph is Joseph honored God, and he made him look good in purity. Amen. In purity, thank God. Yeah. Hey, you can open up your Bible and find how that Potiphar had a wife that was of ill repute, and the Potiphar's wife wore on him every day and said, "Won't you just lay with me? Won't you lay with me? Nobody will know it. Nobody will know it." I feel like that's how it is in America today. Hey, say, nobody knows it. God knows it. Amen. God knows it, thank God. And if God knows what's right, that's enough, amen. And I like what old Joseph said. He said, "How can I sin against God, amen? How can I sin again?" Hey, listen, he might have walked out of that room that day, and she might have hated him. But I'm telling you, that day in that room, when he had to make a decision of whether to honor God or his flesh, he made God look good, amen. He made him look good. I'm talking about making him look good. He made him look good in times of perseverance when things didn't look real good for him. I mean, every time he looks up, things are looking down. Amen. But despite all that, we never find Joseph complaining, never find him murmuring, never find him listening. Everything he does, he's just following God. Amen. I mean, we find him, thank God, honoring God with his pardon. He starts forgiving people that was mean to him. What about that? Amen. Anybody in here like that? Thank God. I mean, we come in the house of God. Amen. Lift up our hands, talk about how good God's been to us. But our neighbor across the way, they wronged us one time way back in 1942, and we've been mad at them ever since. God help us. Amen. God help us. Hey, you say, "They wronged me last week." Thank God, pray for them and go on and serve God. Amen. I mean, listen, you holding a grudge, talking about people every time somebody's around you, that don't make God look good. Y'all all right right there? Y'all all right right there? And you say, "You don't know what they done to me." No, but I know what I done to Christ. I know what I done to him. Listen, let me say this. There's some young people, whenever you're at home and your mom and dad tell you go do something, you start running that mouth. You might put on Christ, but that's not making him look good. That's for free. I'm saying this. Better be real careful. There's a lot of people, they've put on Christ. And if you ask them, you say, "Hey, are you born again?" They say, "I'm saved."
Yeah.
Saved. But they sure can't nobody tell it.
Hallelujah.
I mean, they might. They might search you with a microscope and find something here or there. But I'm talking about, thank God, listen, Jacob had some good moments, but he had some bad ones.
Yeah.
But boy, when I look at old Joseph, I see how Joseph lived his life.
Yeah.
I see how Joseph went through hard times.
Yeah.
I see how he dealt with hateful people.
Yeah.
How he dealt with sin.
Yeah.
Then he gets to the end of his life, and he's standing there, boy, I like how he deals with God's plan. He said, "Everything y'all meant for evil, he said, God meant it for good." Hey, folks in here today, thank God. You say, "Preacher, my life's been living hell. I've been through hell and back." Well, just wait till God turns that hell into heaven. Amen. I mean, you'll be surprised, thank God, what God will do with your life if you'll just purpose that you're going to make him look good. Amen. Yes, let me say this. I'm going to be done. Here's the last thing. The Bible says that we ought to show all good fidelity. That means faithfulness. Could I say it to you like this? I believe every disciple except for Judas was saved. Don't you believe that? I believe it because God said it. Amen. In Luke chapter number 10, he said, rejoice forever that your names are written in heaven. That's the only authority you need, is if Christ said they are, amen. I mean, all of them were saved. They all put him on. But now John, oh, John made him look good. I mean, Matthew was saved. No doubt. Thaddeus, saved. No doubt. John made him look good. You go read Matthew, you go read Mark, you go read Luke. When you get to John, oh, thank God. You'll find somebody, when the Holy Ghost started pinning on them, they started making Christ look good. Amen. I mean, he didn't just put him on, neighbor. He made him look good. Amen. I thought about this. I'm about done. Maybe I might preach a little while longer. I feel pretty good, thank God. But I'm going to say this. He made him look good in the way that he leaned on him, didn't he? Amen. How many of you find that the Bible said that he leaned on his breast, and then two verses later it said that he was lying on him, amen. How many, listen, while everybody else is trying to figure out what's wrong, oh, John has laid his little head on the sweet bosom of Christ. I'm telling you, one of the best scenes you'll ever find in the Bible is how he leaned on him and made him look good, amen. Then I find how he loved him. I've read this Bible a bunch of times. And not one time, Grayson, have I ever found Matthew at the foot of the cross when Jesus died. Not one time. I ain't never found James there. I ain't never found Peter there. I ain't never found none of the rest of them there. That boy standing there. Now, this might not be helping you like it's a helping me, but it's a helping me nonetheless. Everybody else might have had him put on. But old John standing there that day when it's going to cost him friends and family and fortune, when it might cost him his own life, and he's standing there and everybody else is gone. We got John, a couple ladies, and his mama. That's all that's there. And old John wants everybody to know, everybody else might have left, but I'm still here. Everybody else might be carried down, but I still love you. Everybody else might have ran away, but I'm running to you. I'm telling you, we got to make a decision. Are we satisfied wearing Christ, or do you want to make him look good? Oh, listen. And we find John, how he looks at Christ in the book of Revelation.
Oh, yeah.
Ain't it amazing? They blind him, but he still sees.
Yep.
They exiled him, but he ain't alone.
Right.
Somebody ought to help me a little more on that, thank God. I mean, listen. They in that place where he's laying, and while he's standing there that day, John makes him look good the way he's looking for him.
Right. Oh, yeah.
These folks today, I promise y'all of us, if we really felt like the Lord was coming this afternoon, there'd be things be different in our lives today. But the reality is, we got Christ put on, but we ain't concerned near as much about making him look good. I don't mean to hurt nobody's feelings. I promise you I don't. And if you do this, that's between you and the Lord. Don't let my convictions be your convictions, okay? I won't give you liberty in that. But one thing that eats my soul is to go to Walmart and see people running around in pajamas. I don't know if that bothers anybody else. Maybe you're one of those people that do that. I'm not against you today. I'm talking about for me. And my boys would tell you, if they left my home in pajamas when I found them, I said, boys, we already got a fight. The idea that homeschoolers have, that we run around in pajamas everywhere we're at, and we're socially awkward, and all these things that come along with that. I'd say, the least you guys can do is put on something decent when you leave the house. And they would say something like this. They'd say, but this feels better, more comfortable. I'd say, it's not about being comfortable. It's about the fact that you are representing your mom and your dad. And when you go out to Walmart, you got on pajama pants, and your hair's going everywhere, and your teeth ain't brushed. They don't say, look at them little heathen kids. They say, man alive, I thought Kevin and Allison were better parents than that. And I think what would help us all in the house of God to understand is when you're out there scratching off lottery tickets, and when you're out there saying cuss words, and when you're out there drinking your wine and drinking your liquor, and you're posting things on social media that ain't right, and you're holding grudges in your heart, you're doing all that stuff, they don't look and say, man, that person there is terrible. No, what they say is, I thought they were a Christian. I thought God was better than that. Now I'm telling you, the Bible teaches us here that we might adorn the doctrine of God in all things. Julie, what that means is this. That means everything that the Bible says, Lola, my life ought to run right with it. And when they see my life, it ought to match up with the doctrine of that Bible. My life ought to make it look good. I don't know how you feel about it. It ain't none of my business. I think this. I think every husband in this church, how they treat their wife ought to line up with Ephesians chapter 5.
Right.
And if it don't, you might have put on Christ, but you sure ain't making Him look good. Y'all all right there? You come to the house, I'm done. You come to the house of God, say, man, I'm born again. I'm asking you simply this. Have you put Him on? Or are you making Him look good? You make Him look good. Stand on your feet. I'm done preaching. I'm done right there. I'm done. Listen, come. Are you content simply putting Christ on? Or is there an interest in your heart to make Him look good? Make Him look good. Somebody look at your life. And based on what Christ has done and is doing in your life, does that look good enough that they say, man, I want that. Man, I want that. I want what they got. They live different. They talk different. They have something different than I have. Listen, it's not enough to put Him on. Not enough to put Him on. We need to make Him look good. Youngins, old, I mean everywhere between. From the youngest in our church to the oldest. It ought to be the sincerest desire of every believer to make Christ look good. Make Christ look good. God help.